Today, we're happy to bring to you another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program, and today the title of the message is A Mother's Love. It's a message that Pastor Phipps presented to the Seabrook Seventh-day Adventist Church on Mother's Day. And that message will follow the special music that we have for you, which is also by Pastor Phipps. So I hope that you will stay with us here for another edition of The More Abundant Life.
Coming this morning from a difficult passage of Scripture, but it is one that has a very tender application. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of 2 Samuel. That's right after the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 21. And I'll read in your hearing. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. The Lord answered, saying, "It is because of Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them. And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" And the Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel." And he said, "What ye shall say, that will I do for you." And they answered the king, "The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his house be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholite. Aren't you glad I'm the one doing the reading this morning? And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell, all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven. And she suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. My God. It was in the days of David, king of Israel, a famine lasting 3 years swept over Israel. The days of harvest came, and then the days of harvest passed because there was nothing to harvest. The heavens sent down only waves of heat upon the people of Israel. The earth became like iron, and the people of Israel survived on wild grasses and weeds. In Israel, there was the widespread belief that the rain was being withheld by God's command. And finally, in desperation, David sought the Lord to know the reason for this punishment. God revealed it to him that it was because of what Saul, his predecessor, had done when he was king. You see, Saul had made a treaty with the Gibeonites, and then he had ruthlessly tricked them and massacred them for no reason at all. And so God held the whole nation guilty of this crime. The people, through their silence, had endorsed the actions of their king. And so David summoned the Gibeonite nation before him and inquired what could be done to atone for the sins of his own people. The Gibeonites said, "We don't want Saul's silver. We don't want his gold. Give us his 7 sons as payment for Israel's crime." David complied with their request. The 7 sons of Saul were turned over to the Gibeonite leaders, who then took them and hanged all 7 of them together. The bodies of the 7 men hung there in the sweltering heat. No one made any movements to remove the bodies swinging in the wind. It was a grim and ugly sight. Oh, but suddenly, in the midst of all that horror, one woman could be seen approaching the scene. It was the mother of Armoni and Mephibosheth, 2 of the men who were hanged. Some believe that her presence inspired the well-known words of the poet who said, "If I hanged on the highest hill, I know whose love would follow me still, mother of mine." So on this Mother's Day, come with me for a few moments. Let us look at the stirring story of a mother's love, the story of a name you perhaps never heard, but recorded by God for our admonition, Rispah. Rispah reminds us that a mother's love is often tested. Rispah reminds us that it may be the conduct of your children or perhaps the way others treat them. Your love for your children will be tested. The world must never underestimate the loyalty of a mother's love to her own flesh and blood. Rispah here in her grief was not ashamed to take her place at the site of the execution of her sons. These were her children. She had reared them. She had laughed with them. She had played with them. She had bound up their wounds. She had watched them grow to manhood, only to see them now brought to this end because of the sins of their father. Rispah swallowed her pride. She couldn't be bothered about what friends thought about her. She couldn't worry about what the neighbors would say. All she remembered was that up there on a lonely hill, her sons were hanging in the wind. And when death had struck down Rispah's sons, she journeyed to the place of the death. And as the scriptures tell us, she set up a little tent of sackcloth just so she could be with her sons. Not until the famine, the Bible says, was broken 6 months later that their bodies were taken down and given the burial. Only then did Rispah leave her son's side. As she had guarded them and protected them when they were young, now she stood watch over them in death. We are told, the scripture said, that she suffered, listen to this, neither the birds of the air to rest on those dead bodies, nor the beast of the field to consume them by night. And that was no easy task. For where death comes, scavengers follow. Day and night, Rispah kept her vigil. She, listen to me, fought off the vultures from picking the bones of her sons. And in the long night watches, she stood her ground to drive off the marauders. These were her sons. During the reign of Queen Victoria, her own daughter, Princess Alice, became a victim of diphtheria. Diphtheria was fatal to so many people in England during that time, and it was a solemn moment when the death of the princess was announced in Parliament by Gladstone. And with trembling voice,
He told the reason she had died. You see, her own little boy was ill with the dread disease of diphtheria. The physician had cautioned her not to inhale his poisoned breath. But as the child tossed about with fever, Princess Alice, a true mother, could wait no longer. She took the little fellow, the little boy, into her arms and tenderly stroked his brow. And the boy, listen, threw his arms around her neck and whispered, "Kiss me, Mama." The mother's love was stronger than the caution of the doctor, and she pressed her lips to the child's lips, and she lost her life. Oh, what love. For Rispa's death had taken her boys from her. They could no longer know her love, her tenderness, her care. And yet she could not forgo the duty of watching over them in death. Brothers and sisters, we do not understand the power of a mother's love. A mother's heart weeps when sorrow and tribulation comes to us. If you have a need, it is a mother's love that will find a way to supply that need. Maybe you don't know what a mother feels like when her baby calls in adulthood from college, "Mama, I'm broke." Rispa remained with her boys until the rains came, and she knew that they had been properly buried. They were taken down. Church, her love for them did not stop with the burial. She went on loving them through the years. A mother's love is like that. Somebody wrote this little poem and said, "Somebody prays for a boy astray, afar from home at the close of day. Someone loves him in spite of his sin, would give her all his soul to win. That somebody is mother." Somebody's heart is filled with joy to meet a penitent erring boy, to know her prayers were not in vain, to welcome her boy home again in spite of every sin and stain. That somebody is mother. Brothers and sisters, we pay tribute to those whom we call mother today. This morning I pay tribute to every mother. Hallelujah. I call them dedicated, selfless soldiers of God. Mothers, they are the unsung heroes of our faith. To be a mother is a sacred trust. The mother holds in her hands the destiny of her children, and many believe the destiny of a nation. There is no greater privilege on earth, no more weighty a responsibility than that of being a mother. It was William Ross Wallace who said, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And he was right, for you see, the influence of a mother is enduring, not just for time, but for eternity. A mother is never to be considered or treated as a second-class citizen in our society. The true value of her work is inestimable. As a matter of fact, I heard on the radio this week that if you took what a mother did and paid her for it, counselor, cook, chauffeur, said if you added it all up, you'd have to pay every mother $500,000 a year. Some want their money, I know that's right. But I'm here to tell you, God says, "I will give you your reward." Amen. You may not understand or applaud what a mother does today, but God says, "I will give every mother her reward." You see, a mother labors not just for time, but for eternity. And God bless the mother who takes the time to pray with her children, the mother who teaches her children lessons of discipline. Thank God for every mother who takes the time to discipline her children. Amen. Praise God, we need more mothers like that. Amen. You can't be so busy trying to be your child's friend that you can't discipline your child. Amen. 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 For every mother that takes the time, God says a reward awaits you. Every mother who makes her home the shadow of a rock in a weary land. Hey, I want you to know it is really something to see children who are so glad when they become freshmen in college to leave home. 6 months later, they can't wait to get back because mother has made home, amen, a rock in a weary land, a hiding place from the winds of evil. Your life, mother, may seem like an endless round of common duties, a constant rehearsal of monotony. But I want you to know God is taking record, and he will give you your reward. Most of the time, a mother can't see her reward here. But then sometimes she can. Oh, it's wonderful to see a mother filled with pride over the noble life and contributions of her children. I've listened to mothers recount evidences of God's goodness. I've seen the light of godly pride on their faces. I've seen mothers die holding in their hands the promise that God will give them a reward for their faithfulness. I've seen mothers whose children have strayed from the paths of righteousness, and then I've seen them go to sleep praying that they'd make it back. Amen. One day a family was walking beside a brook when the children found a nest of turtle eggs. They took the eggs home and they tried to hatch them in the backyard. They filled up a pan with sand, but it didn't work. They discovered some wonderful things about turtles as they studied. They found out that the turtle lays eggs in the sand and then promptly slips back in the water, never to return. The rays of the sun warm the eggs, and in a few weeks, they hatch, and when the baby turtles pop out of their shells, immediately they begin to fend for themselves. Turtles are orphans at birth. Now that may be all right for turtles, but God knew that wouldn't work for us. God knew that we as children can't fend for ourselves. We need a mother to care for our physical needs, to protect us, to hold us, to love us, to teach us, to guide us. And so in God's way and in God's time and in God's purpose, he gave us mothers. And on this Mother's Day, I pause, and we all pause. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. We pause today unabashedly to shower tokens of esteem upon mothers. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Thomas Edison said, my mother was the making of me. She was so true, so sure of me, and I felt that I had someone to live for, someone I must not disappoint. My God. All that I have, said Dwight Moody, all that I have accomplished in life, I owe to my mother. Jean-Paul Richter said to the man who said, he said, all women are sacred for a mother's sake. And it was the painter Benjamin West, I love this, who said, a kiss from my mother made me a painter. Mother's Day is also an opportunity for mothers to say thank you, Jesus. For mothers to express their gratitude to God. Christian mothers ought to be grateful. Amen. Mothers, you ought to thank God that you've had the blessing and privilege of bringing one or more children into the world. You ought to praise God today that as you go back over the experiences of your life, that there have been times of happiness with your children. You ought to appreciate the fact that God gave you the privilege of instructing your children, of leading them into the way of salvation. Someone said, the most important evangelist in the world is mother. Be grateful to God, that last smile on their faces. You know the smile when you hug them and tuck them into bed. You ought to praise God for watching them grow in wisdom and stature. And as a family, you realize you came behind in no good thing. You ought to praise God. You ought to remember the days of sickness and fear when emergencies came and you got on your knees and you saw a prayer answered. Is there a mother today that ever got on her knees over her child and watch the heavens open, and God answered her prayer? Did God answer your prayer? Mother, has God ever answered your prayer? In everything, you ought to say thanks to God, and you ought to praise him. The eyes of mother watched over you. And today, I have a mother who is asleep. Some of you have mothers who are asleep. Mothers who were patient with you. Mothers who prayed for you. How many of you remember little vignettes of counsel given to you by your mother? You'll remember it till you die. My mother used to say to me, you see you? That's Trinidadian for let me tell you something. She used to say, you see you? You're either going to be something very good or very bad. And I sure didn't want to be something very bad. So I had to try to be something very good by God's grace. How many of you remember the little things your mother said to you that stuck with you? My wife had an awesome mother. Mother that gave her wisdom. And when I met my wife, she had wisdom beyond her years because she listened to the counsel of her mother. Her mother was quite a woman. I'll never forget the moment that I got on my knees in front of her and asked for her hand in marriage. And I made the mistake, and some of you heard me tell you, I made the mistake of telling her that I'm going to take care of her better than she's ever been taken care of her in her life. Now, why did I say that? And so I'm here just to praise God today and thank God for faithful mothers.
That concludes our message today. If you would like to obtain a copy of this message, I invite you to call the Seabrook Seventh-day Adventist Church office at 301-577-6342. You will want to ask for program number 141 today. Remember the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.